It was not taken from them. This is not some idealist, right, land of communism or socialism. It is a community of hearts broken by and transformed in Jesus. The people who knew Jesus while he walked the earth, who witnessed his life, his resurrection, and his ascension, were teaching this community all about him. And here we're actually introduced to a new character in the early church. Joseph, a Levite from Cyprus, whom the apostles called Barnabas, which means son of encouragement, sold a field he owned and brought the money and put it at the apostles' feet. As you read through Acts, Barnabas takes on a significant role with the travel journeys of the apostle Paul. But to these early believers and followers of Jesus who were excited to live a life of fellowship, a life of love, and a life of worship together, their hearts were pure because they had clarity of understanding. They submitted to one another. They loved one another. When one had a need, they took care of it. When one was hurting, they sought to heal the wound of the one who was hurt. When there was a death in the community, they almost certainly grieved together. And they cared for the family that suffered the loss. Their vision for living for Christ was clear. Last week, we took a trip to Colorado to visit some places that are special to us. We've been to Colorado many times over the years, always in the summertime, and we look forward to standing in the absolute awe of God's creation, right? Whether it be in the mountains or the lakes, the glades, or the animals that are there, the creatures. And I know a number of you have been to Colorado this summer as well. Typically, when you're on Interstate 70 and you're traveling west, when you get, well, first of all, the interesting thing is when you first cross into Colorado from Kansas, there's a sign on the side of the road. There's even a pull-off there. It says, "Welcome to colorful Colorado." And you know what you see when you cross that state line? Nothing. It's brown. But if you go about an hour and a half further into Colorado, you run into a little town called Lyman. Lyman is about 1,200 people. It's a relatively insignificant little community on Interstate 70. But there is something wonderful that typically happens when you get to Lyman. It is there, about 70 miles from Colorado Springs, that you can catch your first glimpse of Pikes Peak. And it's always fun when you're in the car traveling, who's going to make the first sighting of the mountain? And we all know when you get to Lyman, you better have your eyes open because it's coming really quick. In fact, as you're cruising into Lyman, in the Lyman suburbs, there is an old abandoned tower on the side of the road. And it used to be a tourist attraction where you could go up in this tower and be able to see the Front Range of the Rocky Mountains. But this year when we got to Lyman, nothing. We could not see the mountains. And we turned onto Highway 24 South and began driving towards Colorado Springs. And we were nearly halfway there, about 30 or 35 miles into that drive, before we were able to see the mountains. See, our view was distorted. There was so much haze over the mountains from the wildfires that are taking place in the west that the view was deeply diminished. Ananias and Sapphira were members, right, of this early church community. But as we read this morning, they did not have a clear understanding of what it meant to love God and to love God's people. They put up a facade of faithfulness, hoping to look good to the members of their community, perhaps hoping that God wouldn't pay attention to their scheme. I've heard this text lifted up many, many times over the years in times of stewardship about what it means to be a faithful giver. I've never really considered this to be a stewardship text, at least not directly. Rather, this text is an account of people who refused to acknowledge, to believe, and to live into the most important attribute of God. We read in Scripture that God is many things, God is merciful. God is just. God is loving. God is slow to anger and abounding in love. You know, the list could go on and on and on. But the most important characteristic of God, which God claims over and over and over again, is that God is holy. God is holy. Sometimes when we speak of God, we use the word holy as a word that many folks use to express surprise or shock. Remember the former Cardinals announcer who got dumped by the Cardinals but picked up by the Cubs years ago, Harry Carey? Holy cow! It's a descriptor word of surprise and shock. But that's not what it means for God to be holy. The Hebrew word for holy is kadosh, and it literally means to be separate or set apart. And this is helpful for us because it means, at least in part, that when we are talking about God's holiness, we are talking about God's absolute purity. God is unstained by sin and by evil. He is perfect in absolutely every way, and He's good all the time. Everything that God does, everything that God says is just. Ananias and Sapphira do not love God, nor do they respect God's holiness. They have been tainted by the ways of the world. Think of all the ways they've been tainted. It's not hard. Greed, status, advantage. They're unable to see the mountains before them. Thinking of that example from Lyman, Colorado. Because they have bought into what hinders our view of God and what God has done for us in Christ. God did not smite them because they did not give all of their money from the sale of their land to the church. God smote them because they lied to God directly. They did not love God. They did not love God's people. In 39 days, we will be starting a discipleship journey together called The Story. And The Story is not simply a program for us to get signed up for and participate in and do the things that we're supposed to do with church programs. The Story is an intentional discipleship effort, absolutely rooted in God's Word, that will make clear to us, that will bring clarity to all of us, what it means to love God and to love God's people and to have a burden for one another as we live together in Christian community, to grow into the type of community that Luke explains to us and describes to us in Acts chapter 4 and 5. It is by becoming a family deeply anchored in love of God and love of one another that God will propel us, right? That God will send us out into our greater community. But we must learn to live in clarity, especially in the world in which we live that is being shaped all around us by darkness and shadow and lies. This morning, we are blessed by the Lord Jesus to be invited to His table. This is not a table for perfect people, but it's a table for those who readily admit that they are broken, that they are helpless, and that they are in need of a Savior. It is for people who desire to be reconciled to God and to one another. And this meal, it's just a little piece of bread and a little dram of grape juice. But in this meal, we are given a foretaste. We are given a glimpse of the great banquet, of the great feast, which is to come when Jesus returns in all of His glory to make all things new.